wouldn't change places with anyone tonight. We'll carve pumpkin faces and watch the witches' flight. Every human heart will shudder. Every soul will shake with fear. Tonight, the creepiest. Tonight, the scariest. Tonight, the most wonderful. Anything can happen on Halloween. Your dog could turn into a cat. There may be a toad in your bass guitar, or your sister could turn into a bat.
Ooh, welcome to episode 24 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am your host, Dracula, I mean, Grundislav, also known as Francisco Gonzalez, and with me...
Hello.
Yeah, hello, who is this?
Oh, hello, I'm Ben Chandler.
I thought that was probably enough. I thought I'd probably added enough to the podcast with that.
Okay, fair enough. Is there a particular reason we're talking like idiots?
More it than is. It is because we're usual.
Yes, yes.
That's all of it, I think. No, it's Halloween.
Yes, yes. It's a special Halloween episode of our Blue Cup Tools podcast. Which, yeah, it's Halloween. And
so we're going to talk about pumpkins the whole time.
Good. I like pumpkins.
It makes me think of the bit in Sanitarium with the killer plants.
Hmm. Halloween's not really a big thing in Australia, is it?
No, well, no, it's not a big thing. It's starting to become.
I've been hearing people, Australians specifically, saying that it's starting to become a big thing for like the past 5 years now. So, is it or isn't it? What's going on?
Yeah, well, don't put me on the spot like this. I'm upset now. You've put me off. No, it's definitely... When I was a kid, Halloween was just some weird thing Americans did. And now, these days... I mean, I've been to Halloween parties and dressed up and, you know, do the whole whatever, vampire or, you know, really whatever you want to dress up as. You can dress up as a pirate or an astronaut. When I was a kid, I always thought you had to dress up as something scary for Halloween. It soon came to light that you don't really. You just wear stupid clothes and go out and have fun. So,
well, yeah. I mean, when you're a kid, I guess they kind of encourage you to wear scary things. That's the whole thing. But yeah,
I believe the origin of the sort of festival was a sort of idea where you're meant to scare away bad spirits with scary masks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I guess that's where we got that sort of idea from. But yeah, it's definitely progressed into a sort of just have a bit of fun sort of idea. Which is nice. So now I've been to Halloween parties and dressed up and everything. And, you know, I've never trick-or-treated because...
What a shame.
Man, I ate enough treats already. I don't think I need treats.
But think about it. It's the one night a year where you can go to complete strangers' houses and knock on their door and demand sweets, and they have to give them to you. And you get them
free. You're not allowed to do that other nights of the year?
Well, it's frowned upon.
I don't let that discourage me.
Yeah, but you're a big intimidating guy, so if you knock on people's doors and be like, give me sweets, then they'll have no choice.
How am I intimidating? I'm the friendliest, smiliest guy you'll ever meet. I'm not as smiley as Macca, but I'm pretty smiley.
You're intimidating.
If I was a Sesame Street character, I'd be Guy Smiley.
Oh my god, Guy Smiley, I remember him.
He was awesome, as all Sesame Street characters were and are, except for Veggie Monster, because that's just absolute bullshit. I'm saying it right here. Listen to me. When I was a kid, we had Cookie Monster, and I love vegetables. So there is no correlation between Cookie Monster and not eating vegetables. So go to hell. Whoever decided that.
Whoever 123 Sesame Street is nowadays.
Yeah.
So no, I was gonna say you're intimidating because you're 6'3" and I'm not. So anybody who's taller than me, which is everybody, is intimidating. I live in constant fear when I go out in the street. I'm afraid that I'll be stepped on. Ouch! Wait, was that you stepping on me, or was that just you farting?
No, it was me saying boo.
Oh, I thought it was you going boom. I couldn't tell.
I see.
Anyway, so hello. So, trick or treating and all that stuff. So you've never carved a pumpkin. You've never carved a jack o' lantern.
I've never. No. Do you know what I've seen? Have you seen on DeviantArt the lanterns that are carved into like game figures? And have you seen that?
Sure. A couple of years ago, I made
a sensational.
I made a portal companion cube jack o'
lantern. I remember that actually. I remember you showing me that.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun to go off the beaten path instead of just carving a face on pumpkins. You can carve video game crap on them.
I remember when I was a kid, I had this book that was about carving a jack-o'-lantern. I have no idea because, you know, I've never done anything Halloween-related in my life when I was a kid. But I had this book that was about jack-o'-lanterns, and I loved it because it had glow-in-the-dark, like, paint on the inside, so any jack-o'-lantern mouth and eyes would glow in the dark. I used to read that as a kid.
Nice.
Well, I say read it, but I mean open it up in the dark and watch it glow.
Well,
so yeah.
Yeah, good.
Good.
Yes, so since this is a video game podcast, allegedly, we should probably talk about our favorite spooky games. Or something along those lines.
Nah, screw it. Let's just talk about whatever.
Okay.
But I have to say, when I was a kid, one animation. Do you remember The Secret of Monkey Island?
Absolutely.
Good. Do you remember how much darker that was than any Monkey Island that's followed? How creepy it was?
I don't know. Monkey Island 2 was pretty dark.
But
the voodoo thing and the zombies.
Yeah.
I mean,
but the caverns of meat, man.
Yeah, I guess.
And the navigator's head.
Yeah, that close up was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Man, Steve Purcell's art's amazing, and his close ups in that game were fantastic.
I think I know what you're gonna say though.
Well, I don't know, but I remember being a kid and I wasn't scared by it or anything like this, but there was this animation
of
where
I know exactly what you're gonna say. Go ahead.
Okay. What am I gonna say then? Let's see how good you are, vampire.
It's the animation when LeChuck has disguised himself as Fester Shinetop and he's...
Yes, and he explodes out of his head.
Explodes out of his head, yes.
That's incredible. I love that animation. That's one of my favorite animations ever, along with Laverne getting into her tentacle suit.
Yes. Oh my god.
You know The Apprentice 2, the second Apprentice game?
Sure.
You know when Pip turns himself into a pumpkin?
It's been about 10 years since I played it, so...
He turns himself into a pumpkin, which is relevant because it's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is sensational, because, like, you know how when Laverne wears the tentacle suit, and her body is the exact same shape as a tentacle, and so she looks exactly the same, except she's got this stupid tentacle suit on? Well, it's the same with Pib. His head is the shape of a pumpkin,
of course.
When he turns himself into a pumpkin, he still looks exactly like himself, except now he's a pumpkin.
Right. You know, it just reminded me that the Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition, which I know you love, I can't for the life of me remember what that animation looked like, which probably means it's completely terrible and forgettable.
Yeah, man, I should play it and watch it and enjoy the whole thing and shout at people.
I'm tempted to load it up when we're done here and share my screen with you so we can watch it together and cry.
I'm tempted to play Alone in the Dark now because it's sitting there and I'm like, oh, man... Nobody's played Alone in the Dark in ages. I should play that.
I actually watched a Retsupere video of Alone in the Dark the other day.
Did you ever play Alone in the Dark 2 or 3?
I played Alone in the Dark 2. I don't think I got very far. I never played Alone in the Dark 3.
I never played 2 or 3, but I got a box set of all 3 earlier this year. So I'm like, maybe I should try 2 or 3. But I've heard they're not very good, so...
2 wasn't that bad. 3, yeah, I've heard is not great.
Okay.
Man, you know what I should play? I should play Scratches.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, I feel terrible admitting that I've never played it, but...
Did you pledge to Asylum?
No.
Oh, man.
I haven't pledged to any Kickstarters.
What are you doing?
Saving my money.
What are you? What have you been playing? Have you been playing any new games that I haven't heard about lately?
Yes.
What have you been playing?
I received God of War Ascension and Tomb Raider in the mail.
I got Tomb Raider in the mail as well. The new Tomb Raider, not the old Tomb Raider, which I already had.
Have you played it yet?
No, I've played DOS games. Are you kidding me?
Well, I put it in and installed it, but I played God of War Ascension. And sure. I have to say the most exciting part was when that little progress bar got over 99% for the 9th update, which took about an hour and a half to install.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. Imagine my chagrin when I found that I had to update the game as soon as I put it in, and it gave me enough time to go and eat a sandwich and take a shower and do all sorts of other things while it was doing it. But I played a little bit of it, and what can I say? It's a God of War game.
Yeah.
I mean,
was it 9 gigabytes of updates?
It was 2 gigabytes of updates.
Which one was... Oh, maybe I'm thinking about something else.
Yeah. I haven't updated anything with 9 gigabytes yet, thankfully. Yeah. I mean, it's... I'll be honest. I think that there's certain franchises like Assassin's Creed and God of War where they were originally set out to be, you know, just a lot less entries in the series, but as they were obviously successful and they made their studios money, they've been milking them for all they're worth.
Certainly. That seems very likely.
Yeah.
That's how publishers work.
Yeah, and honestly, I like the first God of War. I like the second God of War. I like God of War 3. I like the ending of God of War 3. It was a nice little succinct Greek tragedy in 3 games that were a bit repetitive, but hey. But then we got the PSP version, the PSP games, which were then released on HD.
Did you like those?
They were okay. I mean, you know.
I've heard that they sort of delve into the character a little bit more.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Kratos isn't exactly a very deep character. He's a guy
who
shouts a lot. Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, yeah, there's this whole tragedy of his family and stuff, but like, I don't know. It just... So when they announced God of... Because here's the thing. There's God of War Chains of Olympus and God of War Ghost of Sparta, which are the two PSP games. So Chains of Olympus takes place before the first God of War game, and Ghost of Sparta supposedly takes place between the first and second God of War game. Yes. So, Ghost of Sparta, okay, I can understand, whatever. So, with the Chains of Olympus, you're kind of, it's like, okay, look at Kratos' past, whatever, alright. So when they announced God of War Ascension, and they said it's a prequel, which takes place even further back, but not that further back. Well, that's the thing. Like, okay, so here's the story of Kratos. Kratos was a general in the Spartan army. He asked Ares for help. Ares gave him help and made him his servant. And then Ares made him kill his wife and daughter. And then he got angry at Ares. And then
he got angry at everybody.
Yeah, he got angry at Ares, and then he had all these nightmares. And then that leads into God of War 1, where he kills Ares, right?
Sure.
So in Chains of
Olympus,
yeah, in Chains of Olympus, I don't even freaking remember what it was about. I think the main bad guy is Persephone in the underground. Not my cat. No, the actual Greek
figure.
Yeah, for whom I named my cat. But so yeah, that takes place around the time of like I don't know, but this Ascension supposedly takes place like recently after he got angry with Ares and he's trying to break his oath to Ares, so the Furies are after him, and that's the whole premise of the game.
Okay.
But honestly, the only reason I wanted to get it was because it's a current gen God of War game where the majority of them have been, you know, PS2.
God of War 3 was
PS3, right. But sure. Compared to 1 and 2 and you know, there's 4 past generation games and only 1 current generation game. So I thought, well, they've as repetitive as they are, the one thing that they do have going for them is that they're very visually appealing.
And they're very cinematic.
They're breathtaking. I mean, there's set pieces just within the first level of the game where you're like on this giant multi-armed creature that pulls bits of the level out at you, which is pretty interesting and pretty cool visually. The only problem I found is that sometimes it's hard to tell where you are when the camera pulls back a lot. It's hard to tell where you are compared to all the enemies. But I mean, you know, so that's really the main reason that I got it, because I was like, yeah, I can stand another God of War game in current gen. But yeah, I mean, as far as purpose of making them, they really have blown my mind. And I really hope that they don't continue the franchise on the PS4, because that would just be ridiculous.
I have God of War 2, and I've finished God of War 2, and that was enough. I've seen enough, you know?
Yeah, I get you. I mean, God of War 1 I liked because it was nice and short and told an interesting story, and God of War 2 I liked because it was a continuation.
Cinematic as all hell.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it ends on a total cliffhanger, so, you know, I had to find out what happened, and it was basically exactly what I thought it was going to be. Spend the whole game killing all the gods, which is fun, but yeah, it does get some after a while. So yeah, I mean,
okay. So have you been playing anything else other than God of War?
No, that pretty much took up all my time.
Been playing any more Rayman Legends or?
No, I haven't played any more Rayman Legends.
Oh man, what are you doing?
I don't know. It's weird.
You're so excited to get it, and you haven't been playing it. Is it not as good as Origins? I thought it was better than Origins.
It is. It is better than Origins, but you know what I think it is? I'm afraid that if I keep playing it, I'll finish it, and it'll be over. And I've built it up so much in my mind that I don't want to just, you know, have
it be over. I think you did build it up a fair bit in your mind, but that's natural. You get excited about stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. What about you? What have you been playing?
I've been playing all sorts of things. I've been playing sort of, you know, old games, new games, mostly old games. I reached 50 posts on Das Ist Good, which is pretty exciting. Milestone. You know, that means I've played more than 50 DOS games this year, because not all the ones I've played I've put up. So, wow. Yeah, man, I've been sampling the wide palette of.
That's more than one game a week so far.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't finished all of them. But
did you start DOS Ist Good?
I don't know. I don't think that matters.
Well, I mean, it depends on how long it's been versus how many games you've got, how many posts you've got on there.
Yeah. I think we can safely say I've played enough.
Is it ever enough?
No, it's really not. I've been playing Flight of the Amazon Queen, and I'm kind of enjoying it. I don't know if I talked about that last podcast, but I'm getting through it. Yeah. Puzzle by puzzle. I started playing The Dig last night, as you know, mm-hmm. and I'm really enjoying the art in that. As you know, I'm a big fan of the art of The Dig.
Yeah.
And, I think The Dig is from the Full Throttle era, where LucasArts said, you know what, we've done comedy adventure games, let's try and make some really cinematic ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
So, I love the cinematic quality that I believe Steven Spielberg was at one point involved in The Dig.
Yes, he was.
So, you know, I think The Dig holds up better so far than I expected it to.
Mm.
And the fossil puzzle's easier to solve than I remember. I remember really struggling with that for some reason.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know, but I remember you telling me that you didn't think it was very hard, and I just tried it again, this time obviously knowing what to do, and I got it fairly quickly, so, you know, hopefully it's not just me, and hopefully the puzzle's easier than I remember it. I got a little indie game, a short little cute little fun indie game called Castles in the Sky that I played through. It's inspired by, like, Journey, and, you know, it's basically a short... I don't know how to describe it. It's short, it's fun, you jump through clouds. That was pretty fun. I've been playing some Neo Hunter. I'm stuck in Neo Hunter. I've tried this various bit. I'm not sure what to do next, so hopefully it's not a bug in the game. Hopefully it's just me being stuck, but I've tried clicking on everything. I've tried a number of solutions, and I haven't managed to get further in Neo Hunter. But Neo Hunter is really... got it's another game with a really, really nice art style. So, you know, I'd like to get further and see more of what the game has to offer. Yeah, and I think that's about it.
I see.
So, yeah, I've got some more games, you know. Some more games have come to me in the mail, so I've got some more games coming. I got another copy of Ultima 8, also known as Pagan. Even though I have a big box copy of it, this one came with a cloth map, and it was 99 cents, and I'm not a man to turn down an amazing deal on a DOS game.
Wow, that is an amazing deal on a DOS game.
Man, you know me. I spend my whole life scouring for old games.
You're like a DOS games hoarder.
I really am. It's not just DOS games, any games. You know, any games that I've got the console for, I'm just like, yes. I do need 50 PlayStation 1 games.
Seriously, one day it's going to get to the point where you're not going to be able to open your door, and people are going to open up and find your corpse amongst all the boxes of games, and you're going to have a big smile on your face and a controller.
I'll finally be happy. I'll finally be happy.
Wow, how bleak. And then they'll have to make a special tomb for you, like the sarcophagus of Egypt.
Or you can be a Tomb Raider and come and find me and be like, I'm taking all your games, and I'll come back as a mummy and be like, this is very Halloween. This is very Halloween.
The curse of Ben Ra. And then you'll be like, oh, mummy, don't take my games.
I like the name Ben Ra. I like how effortless that came to you.
What can I say?
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. So since it is Halloween...
Hello, Ween, yes. The Prophecy. That's what I would say. If I ever buy Ween the Prophecy, which I really should, because what I've seen of it so far looks lovely. If I ever buy it and I get it in the mail and I open it up and it's October, I'll be like, hello, Ween. I finally got there.
Yes, good. Now...
Anyway, now,
far be it from me to condone this sort of behavior, but you can. There are certain websites which may start with A and end in A and rhyme with Schmab and Schmonia. You might be able to procure Ween the Prophecy for the low price of free. Just saying. I mean, you know, it's a pretty rare game. It's pretty hard to find nowadays.
I like big box, and I cannot lie.
Yeah, but I ordered Ween the Prophecy directly from Sierra, and it came. Excuse me. It came to me with just the manual and the floppy disks wrapped in a rubber band. I didn't even get a box. So that's how rare it is. When you order it directly from the store and you don't even get the box, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty sad. That's pretty tragic.
Yeah, it really
is. I'm all tragged up about this.
It's Traj-Az.
Traj-Az, bro.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so scary games is something we should talk about. What games? Have you ever played a quote-unquote scary game and actually felt scared by it?
Well, here's the thing. You know the Resident Evil games, right?
Yeah, sure.
Now, Resident Evil 4 was marked as a real departure from the series norm. You know, it was sort of... They took it from being a real slow-paced, you know, creepy horror adventure into, like, a sort of action game. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing completely through Resident Evil 4 and getting to the end and being like, oh, well, that wasn't scary at all. That was ridiculous, you know. Anyway, so then I was like, oh, man, I should play it through again and try to do some different stuff this time. Because, you know. And so I put headphones on to play it through the second time.
Ooh.
And... it freaked me out. Like, just the presence of headphones. All of a sudden, I was very, like, tense playing it. And it made me realize how big an element sound is in games. You know, if you play... Did you ever play They Hunger, which were a set of three Half-Life mods?
Nope.
Okay, well, They Hunger would have you, like, in a dark tunnel with, like, three bullets in your gun. This is right at the very start. You had, like, three bullets in your gun and, like, an umbrella to hit things with. Walking through a dark tunnel...
Umbrella?
Yeah.
What are you, Mary Poppins?
No. So you're walking through like a dark tunnel. You cannot see a thing, but you can hear the zombies all around you. That's pretty sensational.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be.
Yeah. But no, I don't get scared much by like any horror films I've seen or anything like that. You know, I've yet to play System Shock. or System Shock 2. They've been on my really? Playlist forever.
That seems like a game that like games that you would definitely play.
No, they seem like games that I'd really like. They're very hard to find big box copies of for a reasonable price. But I mean, GOG has got System Shock 2 now, so I should get on that.
Yeah, you can't be picky sometimes.
Yeah, I know, beggars can't be choosers. But yeah, so I mean to play those. And I've played like Bioshock, as you know, and Bioshock mostly relies on jump scares, you know. And jump scares are a bit
cheap.
They're a bit cheap, yeah. So I don't know. But like I said, I think sound is if I'm going to get scared by something, I'm not going to get scared by like horror visuals, because I've played games and they've tried to freak you out with horror, and it's just not going to work, you know. But when the sound's creepy, yeah. Especially if you hear all the sounds and they never amount to anything, because then you get more and more tense.
Yeah. I've been watching people play Outlast, and that seems like it's... Well, I mentioned this on the last podcast. Actually, no, I didn't mention it on the podcast. I mentioned it in our conversation. But I've been watching a live stream where they play Outlast, and Outlast seems pretty creepy, but also relies completely on jump scares.
Yeah, I think people rely too much on jump scares, and that's why it's good that you have, like, well, you know, guys like Agustin Cortez,
yeah.
Who make a more thoughtful blend of horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever worked on a game that you consider horror?
Well, it's funny you say that, because that was going to be the next topic, but let's get to that when we finish talking about scary games.
Okay.
But thank you for preempting that.
That's fine.
My mind.
I'm here for you, bro.
I know you are, bro. All right, Brosov Stalin.
Let's do this.
All right, Slobodan Mibrosevic. Anyway, so I've never really been a big fan of horror, survival horror games. I mean, I've played Silent Hill 2. I've never played any of the Resident Evil games, and I've never really played, any of, like, Left 4 Dead or Dead Island or any of those types of games.
Was Dead Island horror? Oh, I guess it's sort of...
Well, I mean, it's zombies. I guess that falls so, in...
But see, I have this trouble. If something claims to be horror, I expect it to be scary.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's difficult to be scary. It's kind of like... I would argue that horror is harder to do than comedy, because comedy, at least you have an idea of what generally makes people laugh, and you can just be all out silly and make people get a response from people laughing. Horror, there's certain things that everybody, I guess deep down, most people are very common fears. Like, you know, you can play to people's fear of insects or reptiles or being murdered or something like that. But
you're 32 years old, you have no set career, you don't have a house, you don't have a mortgage, you don't have a family, you don't have a kid. What are you doing with your life? That's sort of horror.
Are you talking to me?
Well, I'm talking to someone.
I'm not 32.
Nearly. It's
just
around the corner. It's coming up. See how scary that is?
I like how, of all the things that you said, that was the one thing that I chose to refute.
You're nearly there. You're nearly there, man. Isn't that scary? Isn't that terrifying? That's real horror.
No, that's not terrifying. I'm young. I've got my own apartment. I'm in a city that never sleeps. I have my whole life ahead of me.
Stop
I have nothing
going
to
against
hide
my
out.
Horror.
That's not horror. Are you kidding me? That sounds more like delightfulness. Least horrible thing ever.
Oh man. That reminds me of a thing. I played the other day. Did you ever hear of a game called Klingon Honor Guard? It's a Star Trek game, obviously.
Is that the first person?
It is a first person shooter.
No, it's not shooter.
It's not full motion video. It's 3D engine. I think it's the Unreal Engine.
I remember there was a Klingon full motion video game.
Wasn't that just called Klingon?
Probably. But anyway, yeah. So Klingon Honor Guard. Yeah, sure. What about
Klingon? Yeah, Star Trek Klingon. I think it was called the other one. But this was Klingon Honor Guard. And I started playing it the other day. I think it was based on the Unreal Engine. And I have a copy of it. And I used to think it was great as a kid. And my brother and I loved it, because my cousin would come around and she'd, like, stay with us. And, you know, and we'd play video games and everything like that. And we'd bring out Klingon honor guard, and she'd be terrified by it. My mother actually banned us from playing it because she was so scared of it. She'd run screaming out of the room. And I played it the other day, and it's literally like one of the most pathetic first person shooters ever.
Why was she scared of it?
I don't know.
Was she little?
Well, the game was released in like 98, so I would have been 11.
And how is she younger than you?
2 years younger than me, so she would have been 9. So she wasn't like 3 years old.
No, but I mean, 9-year-old kids can be scared by, I guess,
by shit Star Wars games, yeah,
guns or something. Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Oh my god! I can't believe I corrected you on that.
Yeah, you're such a nerd. Look, this is a screenshot for you.
Are you showing me screenshots on our audio podcast
yet? Oh man, people can Google. They've got Google. Look at that. Exactly.
I'm afraid of this game. And I would run terrified from it, but not for the same reason.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought this was great as a kid, and I played it the other day, and I was like, oh, I was wrong. It's not a great... It's so clunky, man.
Yeah, it looks pretty clunky. And polygonal.
It was an early full 3D shooter. What do you expect? Did you never play Quake? Did you find Quake scary?
I never played Quake.
Oh, my God.
I just told you this, like, 10 minutes before we started doing this podcast.
Did you?
Yes, I said I've never played Quake.
I probably blanked out of my brain because I can't believe the idea that nobody would play Quake.
We're talking about the voice acting that you did for Grub.
Oh, yeah.
And you said that it's meaning to sound like a Quake enemy, and I said I've never played Quake, and you didn't say anything, so it was fine. Is that how you feel, knowing that I haven't played Quake?
Yeah, man, I'm gonna make strange noises at you now. Man, Quake is...
You make strange noises at me all the time. How is that any different?
Do you play many first-person shooters?
No, you know that.
Okay, well, Quake is the fastest. Quake is lightning fast. There's, Anatoly got me to watch Quake Redone Quick a while ago, and... Quake Redone Quick is a guy finishing Quake on Nightmare Mode. He gets through most of the levels in like 13 seconds.
If you keep saying Quick, I'm going to have to take a break and go get some Nesquik.
Nesquake.
Ugh.
Yes. But yeah, so I never really got scared of Quake as a kid, but I just remember being absolutely enthralled, but like absolutely immersed in the setting because of the great sound design. It had, of course, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails doing some of the soundtrack, and
you can hear on one of our episodes of Top Scores.
Can you?
Yeah, you included a track from Quake, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I didn't.
Didn't you? Well, I know you talked about Trent Reznor doing Quake.
Yeah, because I was telling you how Frank Klepacki's Red Alert soundtrack won out over Quake soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
PC Gamer. I was throwing the trivia down, man. I'm all about the facts.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'll probably put the start of Quake, because that is, man, as soon as you start the game up, this music starts and it's just like, yeah, I want to shoot demons and ghosts and stuff. But yeah, I remember being absolutely immersed in Quake because of the sound design, and never really afraid, but I used to panic as a kid because, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not the best first person shooter player in the world. And so, you know, I'm very much a careful and slow player, unless it's something I'm really, really familiar with. So I used to die a lot in Quake.
That's interesting that you say that. So what games would you say that you consider yourself your strongest at, or play to your gaming strengths?
Well, I used to play mostly strategy games. My brother was the one that played first-person shooters, and I only ever played first-person shooters because of him.
Yeah, because you just said that about first-person shooters, and I know that you've said in the past that you're not really that great at platformers either, so I'm just...
Yeah, strategy games were my sort of thing when I was a kid, you know.
And adventure games, obviously.
Well, yeah, I love adventure games, obviously. But yeah, I remember my brother, we had the shareware version of Doom, as everybody had.
Of course.
Except for you, probably.
No, I did. I actually had it.
Okay. Do you remember the Barons of Hell, the boss battle?
I don't think I remember that, actually.
Oh my god! Anyway, so you play through all these levels, and you get to two Barons of Hell that shoot things at you. And my brother was like, oh man, these guys are impossible. There's no
way. Wait. You're talking about the big guys with the goat horns with the... Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So my brother was like, because we were pretty little, and he was like, oh man, these are impossible. There's no one anyone can get past these. And I'm like, let me try. So I just went in there with a rocket launcher and just like shot a lot and ran around a lot and managed to beat them. And of course, you go into that dark room full of people that shoot the hell out of you.
Oh yeah, of course, and that's how it ends.
That made me jump when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
When you go into that dark room and there's like these people shooting at you. When I was a kid, because I didn't know what to expect, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my god, there's people shooting at me.
Mm.
So yeah.
I see. Well, so, yeah. I've played adventure games that are supposed to be scary. Actually, I've played one adventure game that's supposed to be scary. I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Are we talking about either Phantasmagoria or Seventh Guest or Eleventh Hour?
Actually, I was referring to Phantasmagoria, yes.
Okay.
But yeah, now that you mention it, I forgot about the Seventh Guest. Which,
really? I was just talking
considering about that. I'm looking at the box of it right now.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, but, yeah, I think people tried to make a lot of horror adventure games in the 90s, particularly towards the end of the 90s. You know, you had I Have a Mouth and I Must Scream.
Yeah.
You have Of Light and Darkness, The Prophecy, which I don't know if it's supposed to be a horror game or not. I don't know what sort of game it's supposed to be. It's really weird. And you know what else is really weird? Druna, Morbus Gravis, or whatever it is. Do not Google. I remember buying it, having no idea what the source material was, and Googling it and going, oh. Because it's quite adult.
Druna, Morbus... How do you spell that?
Druuna.
Okay. Morbis.
Avis.
Avis. Druna Morbus Gravis. Let's see.
Well, see, the game itself isn't very porny, but the source material is incredible. Oh, yeah. So there's that.
Reminds me of dinner.
Oh yeah, right.
I got you.
Gotcha. I had
chicken breast for dinner.
Yes. They had like the PlayStation. What's that?
Watch out, Druna, a poisonous cobra.
Oh, here we go.
And there's her butt.
Yeah, you swell up.
Oh dear.
Yeah, the PlayStation 1 console especially, I think, really made people love, like, horror. You had, beyond the sort of Silent Hill and Resident Evil stuff, you had stuff like Fear Effect. And, you know, all the different little games that, you know, people went crazy over that style for a while.
Hmm.
And then, yeah, they seem to have died off a little bit.
Man, that is some skillful cross-hatching. Sorry, I'm still looking at pictures of Druna. Okay, I'll close the internet.
You're obviously looking very, very closely if you're studying the cross-hatching.
Well, I mean, come on. I like looking at art techniques. Remember, you said you have to look at things in order to draw them. Anyway,
I forgot what we're talking about completely. Yeah. Oh, adventure games.
Horror games.
Too scary. Yeah.
Yes. I'll tell you one thing. I've never been affected by a game except for one, and it's not one you would expect. There was one game that I played, and after I played it, I went to sleep, and I slept fitfully. And I didn't really have nightmares, but I slept fitfully because I was so stressed from the experience of playing the game.
Was it a Michelin cell game?
No, but you're close in nationality.
Oh, I see. Was it by a Belgian guy then?
Michel Ancel is Belgian?
No, but when you said close in nationality, I thought I was not quite... They're not
oh,
quite
no, no, French. No, you're close in the sense of not the correct nationality. That's
now,
what
are we talking about David Cage? We always talk about David Cage. Can we talk about someone else for a change?
I think we're secret David Cage fanboys.
No, I don't know. You brought him up this time.
No, the only reason I did is because, yes, it's one of his games that made me... That's the only game that has made me... I can say that the game gave me trouble sleeping.
Okay. And what was it about the game? Was it Heavy Rain or Fahrenheit?
It was Heavy Rain, and I think it was just the urgency of the... Because I played Heavy Rain in one sitting. So, well, more than one sitting, actually.
Okay.
But I played through a good chunk of the ending... in one sitting, And it gets pretty tense and it gets pretty dramatic. And I guess I was just really wound up from it, and it gave me trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't because I was scared or anything. I mean, that was not a scary game.
Except, no, it wasn't really.
Except for maybe the fact that I paid $59.99 for it. That was pretty scary.
Woo!
So,
do you know what? Oh man, do you know what was the game that did actually freak me out?
What
was Stalker: Shadows of Chernobyl? Did you ever play that?
No, but I've heard plenty about it.
Okay, well, Stalker's great. All right, it's this first-person shooter set in this post-apocalypse, like sort of Chernobyl. Well, I say post-apocalypse, but it's not really post-apocalypse. It's post, you know, nuclear meltdown.
Sure.
Chernobyl. And it's got all these freaky zombies, and you know, you're basically trying to survive while also carrying missions out for people. It's a little like Fallout 3, but it was before Fallout 3 by quite a long way.
Mm.
And there's one bit where you go into like this old abandoned sort of factory area, and there's some guy that has cloaked himself, and he's picking up boxes and throwing the boxes around at you, and it looks like boxes that are just like flying all over the place. Now, that doesn't really freak me out in some games. Like, there's a mansion in Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, which is a phenomenal game and everyone should play it, but there's a mansion which you know is haunted, and you just start walking around this haunted mansion, having been told it's haunted, and there's vases flying at you and paintings shaking off the wall and everything like that, which is nice and atmospheric, and I've heard it some people get terrified by it, but they told you it's haunted. You expect this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But in this Stalker thing, you are not expecting this at all. So it's just like, bam, in your face. And I was like, oh, crap, what's going on? So, yeah, that freaked me out when that happened. So I think if you warn people about stuff, then, you know, it's going to lose some of the shock it gets, you know. But
sure.
you should all still play Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines anyway, and Stalker Shadows of Chernobyl. They're both great games.
Good. Okay, well, moving on now to the topic that you brought up. Our own experience with working on horror games. Or
yeah, well, have you ever worked on a horror
game? Why are you hissing at me?
Because Ben Jordan has...
Wait. Why are you hissing at me?
The sound of a snake. Now, Ben Jordan has elements of horror, I think.
Yeah.
My favorite animation in any of the Ben Jordan games ever was the tentacle vampire thing.
The tentacle vampire thing? Really? Case 8?
Yeah, that was phenomenal. I love that. It's just so ridiculous. Yes.
There were several animations. Which one did you...
Just the whole sprite and set of animations.
Oh, with the hair and the heartbeat and all that stuff?
That was pretty good. Well, but I wouldn't say it was... scary. The bits that were intense, I think, in Ben Jordan games were when you were going to the flashbacks. I thought they were, you know.
Well, you're talking about Case 8, right? Because remember, there were 8 games in this series.
Yeah, now I'm talking about all of the flashbacks. When, you know, they started in Case 6 when he was having...
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about now.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I didn't really find, like, the ghost in the galleon, or, you know, the ghost in the house. I didn't really find any of that too creepy, but the flashbacks were nice and creepy, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I never really set out to make Ben Jordan a horror game. I mean, no. Obviously he was investigating the paranormal, and the paranormal can be scary, but it was never really intended to be a I'm going to scare the player thing. It was just sort of presented at face value, I guess. I mean, yeah, I think the only games where I intentionally tried to be a little creepier than usual were the fourth game in The House, because I had Adam Hay, also known as Dark Stocky, who's now a big famous, well, he's a big sound design guy at big companies. He very graciously offered to do a lot of ambient sounds for me, and he did a really good job of, like, creepy footsteps and things like that, and it really added... There was very little music in that game compared to the other Ben Jordan games, and mostly it was just the ambient sounds in the house that served as the soundtrack. So that was in the little experiment that I did. So yeah, I mean that and yeah, Case 8 and, you know, Arthur Jordan's little thing was just a classic horror-esque type
thing. Yeah, that it was a very
It was never my intention to do like a movie, you know, monster of the week vampire. Oh, today Ben's gonna investigate of Dracula. This week he's going to investigate werewolves, and next week
you're
he's
not
investigate
Elvira.
Frankenstein. Yeah, exactly. I'm not Elvira. Man, if I was Elvira, I would stay home and play with my boobies all
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Where were we going? What were we talking about again?
So basically, yeah, Case 8 was really my one chance to kind of play with that little, you know, trope and just make it. So yeah, I had fun with the vampire and I had fun with all the other stuff. Good. But yeah, I don't know how I would feel about working on a horror game. I mean, I don't really have any horror stories to tell, and I don't know that I would be able to effectively convey any sort of creepy atmosphere or something.
I think earlier on in the year, you and I both entered the One Room, One Week competition, and we both made little games, one called The Rebirth by you and one called The Reaper by me. And a couple of people have tried them, and one of the people that tried them was Ashton Reyes.
Okay.
Who wrote, you know, who works for Owl Cave and who wrote Richard and Alice, some of Richard and Alice, and he wrote Sepulchre, which is being called a horror game that I work on. And I said to him when he started playing, I said, all right, I said, I know these probably look like horror games, I said, but they're not horror games. And when he finished playing them both, he said to me, he said, they were both definitely horror games, which I feel kind
really?
Of strange about, because I don't think either of them were meant to be horror games. I mean,
definitely were not.
I know mine has, like,
well, I mean,
yeah. When you think about it, when
you
think
about
it, yeah. Well, I don't know. When you think about it, in a sort of the elements involved, especially towards the end of my game,
yeah,
I think, you know, and yeah, I don't know, but yeah. So he said,
if you definitely deconstruct them and you look at them in terms of yeah, the basic horror elements, your game is. You know, it's about these people who are, you know, just trying to get a chore done, but they have this sort of looming specter of the Reaper hanging over them, and then
yes.
one of them dies as a, you know, and the legend comes true.
That's
and
a spoiler, mine is, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah. And in mine, you have, you know, a guy trapped and unable to escape a building to get to his loved ones because of a nuclear explosion. So if you're playing to the whole, you know, the horror being the fact that there's a situation out of your control that has affected you and you can't escape, then yeah, I can see that mine would be horror and yours.
Well, that's like me when I've got no pizza and no, my phone's got no battery. Exactly the same. Sorry. Carry on.
That is a pretty horrible situation, I have to admit.
Pizza.
Yeah, but I don't know that I'd really be able to make a game that was intentionally aimed at scaring people.
Okay. I feel really weird about calling Sepulchre a horror game, but I know people that were like on edge the whole time they played it, so
yeah,
I think it's hard to predict.
I don't know. Sepulchre was interesting because I wouldn't say it was a horror game either, although it definitely has mysterious and kind of creepy bits to it. It's more of a mystery, I guess. I mean, yeah. It's not really a mystery per se because there isn't.
What's
really...
the like Scooby Doo that you go?
No, it's
right,
not
a game. We could just do a whole podcast.
Let's just do the whole podcast like that. You're not supposed to laugh. That breaks the illusion.
I know, I've ruined everything for everyone. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yes. Anyway,
I'll never get in Dead Space.
What?
It's nothing.
Dead Space?
The horror game series.
Yeah,
did
I know.
Dead Space game?
I've never played any of the Dead Space games.
I have.
I've seen though on YouTube that there's one death where you're strapped into a chair and there's this weird thing and you have to get it into your eye just right. I think that's in Dead Space 2. That's pretty scary, especially if you don't like doctors or eyes. But see, that's just playing on general fears again. It's really easy to just play on general fears, I guess, if you're going to do a horror game. I'm going to do a horror game.
Don't spoil it.
No, it's going to be about, like, I'm going to take your idea. It's going to be, you wake up and suddenly you find you're 40 years old and you're living at home and you have no job.
No career, no future.
No career, no family. You Yeah, and then you wake up and you have to like make breakfast or something, and you realize that you don't know how to make your own breakfast.
That's pretty crippling, right?
That's horror right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what that is. That's something. Man, did you remember Voodoo Kid?
Into the future.
Remember Voodoo Kid?
I remember you playing it. I didn't play
it. Oh, man, Voodoo Kid was great. It was like, let's make a horror game for kids that's not scary at all. That's a real Halloween game. Man, for Halloween, I want all of our listeners to find a copy of an old game called Voodoo Kid. It's an adventure game. You'll finish it in like 3 or 4 hours. It's a fantastic game. I love Voodoo Kid. It's got so much charm. Find a copy of Voodoo Kid, give it a playthrough. You're all
adventure. That was like, did you ever play the Goosebumps games?
No, but I saw them. See, I hated Goosebumps books as a kid. Because I used to read a lot of Goosebumps books, and the problem... I used to read a lot of, like, any books. So I read a few Goosebumps books, and the problem with all Goosebumps books is that R.L. Stine, or whatever R.L. Stine's actual name was, used to write every story exactly the same.
R.L. stands for really lame.
Yeah. Man, all of those stories were exactly the same. Did you play the Goosebumps games?
I didn't. My cousin had Escape from Horrorland, and I remember watching him play it, and it was really not very impressive at all. But yeah. I used to read the Goosebumps books, too. I remember when they used to have book fairs at school, I used to pick up the Goosebumps books. And yeah, after a while, they just got really... I had a lot of them. I remember, man, there was one.
It was so big.
I remember I had one that was... I don't remember. It was about some kid that goes to Egypt... And there's like this whole big thing about the scarab, the bite of the scarab kills you, and it like was the whole thing was.
Dude, it's a beetle.
Yeah, I know. And then at the very end, he gets bitten by a scarab, and like the last sentence is "ouch" or something like that. So it's like, oh, the twist. He even after he got away, he died. But I literally read that book in half an hour. I'm not exactly.
Well, yeah. Are you kidding me, man? It's like man. there was no imagination there. How I Got My Shrunken Head. Woohoo!
Yeah, exactly. And the first chapter was always a cliffhanger that was just a false scare. It was like, oh no, we fell off the cliff. Oh wait, I was dreaming. Or oh no, there's a monster in the bedroom. Oh wait, it was just a mouse.
Listen to me, Ariel Stein. I know you're listening. Formulaic horror, or whatever your actual name is, formulaic generic horror may have made you zillions of dollars in the 90s, but it still will never satisfy you or me.
See, he's just a perfect example of lowest common denominator.
But those books were so popular.
I know.
Man, I remember my friends...
the kids didn't know any better.
One of my friends had... this Goosebumps brand magnifying glass and light so he could read his Goosebumps books in bed at night.
Okay.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Man, seriously, go out and read something worth reading.
I guess.
Go read something good. Read, if you want to read some light horror, read like Dresden Files.
Well, R.L. Stine's name is Robert Lawrence Stine.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected. If you want to read light horror, actually, may I really, really suggest that you go and read something by Kelly Link, because she is phenomenal. She is just phenomenal. I love Kelly Link's works. And as soon as Lewis Denby showed me Ashton Razor's writing, I was like, oh man, this is just like Kelly Link. So yeah, that's why I like working with Alcave. So there, one of the reasons. But yeah, no, go and read some Kelly Link if you like reading and you like light horror, and a really strange light horror. Just don't expect to understand any of it. It's Halloween. You're not supposed to understand everything. You give treats away. Man, speaking of treats, I'm hungry. No, I'm not. It's all good.
I've somehow made my way to R.L. Stine's website.
Oh, don't go there. Close it.
Don't go there, girlfriend.
Oh, man, Anatoly's online. We should talk to him.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to him before.
Good.
Yes. Click a question to reveal its answer. Have you ever seen a ghost? Do you believe in ghosts? I've never seen a ghost, but I keep looking! Wow, that's interesting.
Okay, clearly R.L. Stine's writing hasn't improved over the years.
He's 70 years old. Do kids come to your house for Halloween? What kind of candy do you usually give out? Kids come to my apartment in New York City because I have a skeleton and a cup full of eyeballs and a lot of creepy stuff. I always give out copies of my books along with the candy bars. What?
That's the worst treat ever.
That really is. That's a trick, not a treat.
Yeah, that really is. Because they go, like, yeah, I've got a book. And then they get home, they're like, oh, man, this is the same as all of your other books. I've already read this. You've just changed the names.
Also, he lives in an apartment in New York City. Do you know what that means?
It means he's you.
No, it's like... It means I can go trick or treat at his house, and I can get one of his crappy books and throw it back at him. Oh, which Goosebumps book was the most fun and interesting to write? My favorite Goosebumps is one called Cuckoo Clock of Doom. I think it's a perfect story with a very good surprise ending. It made a good TV show too.
It saddens me that they made games out of R.L. Stein's work.
It saddens me that there's a book called Cuckoo Clock of Doom. How does
I'm pretty sure I've read that.
When you're writing your books, do you ever scare yourself? I've never scared myself writing, but I hope I've terrified others. He reminds me of someone else who likes to use capitalized.
Let's move on from R.L. Stein.
Sidetracked.
Yes.
Good. So, going back to the previous thing, you said you've worked on Sepulchre, which is a horror game, and I guess The Reaper is, I guess, maybe in some people's eyes, a horror game. Do you think you would be able to pull off a horror game?
Yep.
Yeah.
I've written short horror stories. Because I've said to people, you know, like, oh man, this jump scare horror is crap. You know, I said they should put more effort in. And I said, well, how would you write a horror story? So I've sat down and written short horror stories. And I go for more creepy stuff, like sense of helplessness, rather than like ooga booga booga.
Sure.
Yeah.
See, my problem is, remember a couple of podcasts ago we were talking about songwriting, and you said that you had a really hard time writing songs because you always tended to go more towards the comical?
Yeah, I like to make fun of myself.
Yeah, I think that would be my problem with writing horror. I don't think I'd be able to sit down and write any serious horror without treading into comedy territory.
Okay. No, I've
never actually seriously tried, so who knows?
Who knows? One thing I do know is I won't be getting the Goosebumps games anytime soon, as much as I love getting old weird games.
Those were FMV, also. Surprise.
There was a thing about FMV games and being horror. There were so many weird and bad games.
Well, when you think about, I know you don't watch movies, but when you think about how many bad movies there are out there, what genre that has the most bad movies?
Oh man, there's so many bad horror films. I remember I went with a friend to the DVD rental store, and we were going to rent a film, and she wouldn't let me rent Frankenhooker, and that pretty much ended the friendship there. That was pretty much the end of that friendship. I was like, man. Wow. I don't know, we watched some other stupid, boring, happy comedy film, and I'm like, man, I would have been so much happier if I was watching Frankenhooker right now. Just because I wanted to say that I've seen a film called Frankenhooker. I think I remember talking to Proximax who's seen Frankenhooker. So there's someone out there that's seen Frankenhooker. I wouldn't have been the only one.
Well,
I wonder if Anatoly has ever seen Frankenhooker.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No, he's seen everything else. So yeah.
Man, he's got a DVD collection that is scary. That's horror right there. He has showgirls.
Horror is looking over at my games, my shelf of games, and going, what have I done with my life?
I would think horror for you would be looking over at your shelf of games and realizing that there's still some spaces missing. Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Oh, dear.
Halloween. So are you going to play any tricks on people or have any treats for Halloween?
I don't know.
I've already eaten a lot of treats. I eat treats constantly.
Yeah, you do. This is my first Halloween in you know, a place that actually has seasons, and from what well, it's true.
Yeah.
So it's actually going to be cold, cool, and, you know, fall like on Halloween. So I don't know. I don't have any.
What's
that?
By cool, you don't mean like, yeah, groovy.
No, I mean like actual temperature-wise, it's below what I'm normally used to. So yeah, it should be interesting. I don't have any set plans right now, but seeing as Halloween is actually, you know, 2 weeks away, spoilers. I don't know. Maybe from here to there, something will happen, and I'm sure we'll talk about it.
What? Have you got any special games or films that you're planning to play through or watch to celebrate Halloween? I'm thinking about playing a bit of Blood around Halloween time.
I'm trying to think if I've ever done something like that in the past. I think I played Grim Fandango once, but I think I played it on Day of the Dead, which is the day after Halloween.
Yeah, which makes more sense.
Yeah, so...
I think I might play a little bit of Blood for Halloween.
Maybe I'll play Grim Fandango for Day of the Dead, because I've been meaning to play Grim Fandango for ages. When I did my playthrough Full Throttle, I was going to do a double feature with Grim Fandango, and I never got around to Grim Fandango, so... Now that I can actually run it... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a plus. Yeah. So, is there anything else you'd like to cover?
Yeah, a piece of bread and some peanut butter. Delicious. No, there isn't.
I see. Well, okay. Then,
There's nothing else you want to talk about?
Well, we talked about horror games. We talked about working on horror games.
Yeah. I feel like playing Alone in the Dark, yeah.
Man, Alone in the Dark, what a game.
What a game, what a trilogy. Well, like I said, I've only played the first, but now I own all three, so, you know.
Yeah, it's good.
I only know of the first, but I can change this now.
Man, I should play The Seventh Guest is what I should play. No, I should hate The Seventh Guest. That's a bit harsh. I don't hate The Seventh Guest, but it hasn't aged well.
Well, a lot of games from that time have. You know what has aged really, really well?
My
Kyrandia 2.
Oh, well, yeah, you gushed about Kyrandia 2 in the last podcast.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
It's okay. You can talk about it all you want. It's just, as long as people don't think we're like boring old grandpas who keep telling the same story over and over again.
They can think what they want, I'm not going to care. Literally, like...
Wow. Push that envelope. Push it right off the cliff.
Do you know what game wasn't scary, even though it tried to be a little bit, was Power Slave.
Oh, I never played Power Slave.
It was fun, but it definitely wasn't scary, even though it had mummies and stuff.
Oh, wait, that was the one with the weird Egyptian cat head things, right?
Yeah.
I remember DOS is good. You did a post on DOS.
Yeah,
good.
If you look on that post, there's this great animation where if you get hit, there's this really weird design element where there's these mummies that throw different colored, like, orbs at you. And one of the orbs, if you look at the colors, the orbs either hurt you or change you into a mummy just like them. And the animation for you changing into a mummy is just phenomenal. It's sensational. So
is that sincere or are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being absolutely sincere. It is stunning.
Really?
It is absolutely stunning.
Hmm.
Yeah. I really should record it on a video thing and upload it for people to look at because it's just stunning. Or, you know, find a copy of Power Slave and play it. But yeah, it's this really weird design element where you have these mummies that throw things at you. And if they turn you into a mummy, your weapon becomes one of their staffs, exactly like their own. You become one of them, basically, and you can only shuffle, like, really slowly. But you can kill them in one hit all of a sudden. So if you're right next close to them when they turn you into a mummy, you can instantly kill them and turn back into a human. It's a really weird design idea. Power Slave was a really, really weird game. And the voice acting... It's one of the earlier games that had a character that would say things. You know, obviously Dark Forces did this. And I think it may have been slightly before Dark Forces. But yeah, the problem with the character is he'd go from being like a super tough guy to being like a nerd in two lines, which was really, really weird. But anyway, yeah.
Ooh, did you ever play Waxworks?
No, I didn't.
Me neither.
I've looked at it. But I've never played.
So have I. That's a pretty notoriously gory game.
Cool.
But yeah, I've never played it. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of gore though. So
I don't really let it doesn't really bother me, you know, it's just if that's part of the game. Well, I mean Fallout 3 had lots and lots of gore and you played that.
True, but I mean I don't know. I don't like Fallout 3 had gore, you know, in the sense that it had like people's heads flying off and stuff like that, but
yeah, and like
oddly
like,
enough, I don't care about that. But when it has to do with like
full of like rotting meat.
Yeah, true. But when it has to do with like people getting sawed in half and their intestines coming out and stuff like that, that's a little bit more on the I'm not too into that factor.
Remember Blood Rain 2?
No.
There's a bit in that where one character gets strangled by his own intestine.
Oh, that's interesting.
That was pretty different.
I see.
The guy cuts his guts open and wraps his own intestine around his head and lifts him up. And he's like... I remember I played that when I was a teenager. I was like, oh, that's a bit much.
Man, actually, now that you say that, I remember being not scared, but I was like kind of freaked out. But remember in Loom, you just played Loom, didn't you?
Yeah.
No. Oh, well, yeah, I guess you did.
A fair while ago.
Yeah, but did you finish it?
No, I haven't. I didn't. I forgot that I was playing. I should go and play it. I should finish it.
How far along did you get?
I think I only got up to the Whirlwind.
Oh, wow. So you didn't get very far at all.
But no, I didn't.
You have finished Loom before, haven't you? Okay, so remember, like, towards the end when the bishop opens up the sky and the chaos comes out?
Yeah.
And then chaos casts the spell and the bishop dies and his head flies off and comes towards the screen?
Dust Games had a thing about heads flying off.
Yeah, that was a great animation, but man, it freaked me out the first time I saw it. Because I was a kid.
I was like, Dust had this thing about heads.
And I actually remember having a conversation with some friends of mine, and they were like, man, have you played this new game, Doom? It's really gory and violent. And I'm like, Doom? That's nothing. I've played one called Loom, and his hat flies off.
That's excellent.
That was an actual conversation I had.
I'm a big fan of this. I'm pleased with this. That's good.
Yes, good.
Yeah.
So, man. Yeah. They could get away with a lot more stuff back before this ESRB nonsense happened.
Do you remember Rise of the Triad?
I'd never played it, but I do remember.
Anatoly posted a screenshot a while ago of an Easter egg I never knew about. But, of course, Rise of the Triad, they basically tried to make the goriest game ever. You know, that was their whole thing, and people would explode and everything like this. Mm-hmm. And he posted an Easter egg that I was unaware of, despite having played the game. And that if, like, one of the severed hands that would fly off people's bodies was in the shape of a middle finger sticking up. So that's pretty
cute. Nice. That's funny.
Yeah. There you go. Good.
Good old times.
Good old times, man. They used to get away with some cool stuff, some fun stuff.
Yeah.
They probably still do, we just don't know about it.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? But man, we grew up playing all these crazy games, and we turned out fine.
Or did we? No, we did. Still making silly noises.
Yes, and I'm sad that you're not playing with me.
I'm sorry. Oh, in what sense?
You know what sense. Anyway, to finish with that horror... Let's finish the horror of this podcast.
Let's end this.
Let's end this right now.
This ends tonight.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank you for listening. If you go out trick-or-treating tonight, be careful. Don't eat any candy. Oh, man, wait. Before we sign off, let me just say one more thing. So, you never had trick-or-treating, and you never had Halloween, but... Yeah. Back when I was a kid and I would go trick-or-treating, they used to say, and they probably still say this, I don't know, I haven't been trick-or-treating in years, but they would always say, make sure that when you get home, you put your candy on the table so your parents can inspect it before you get it. Because, you know, there was this whole rumor, urban legend going around that people were putting, like, razor blades
in
candy and stuff like that, which was never proven. I don't think anybody ever died or got...
It must be some pretty big candy if you're going to hide a razor blade in it.
I think they were hiding razor blades in apples, but anyway, you never, I mean...
Serves you right for eating boring things like
exactly.
That.
Oh, man, what was I thinking ending this podcast? I can tell so many stupid Halloween stories.
Oh, man, I've just retweeted a tweet that says, foolish anti-gravity always trying to float away.
Oh, who tweeted that?
Someone's been playing Spaceman in space.
Yes, someone has been playing Spaceman in space.
I'm excited about this.
Who is this person so that I may...
DJ Brian Damage, of course.
Of course. Of course. And we should give him a shout-out because he's a fan of our podcast.
Hi, Brian. New fan of our podcast.
Hi, new fan of our podcast. And we hope that you've made it this far. It might be, like, December by the time you hear this, but who knows.
He's catching up pretty quick.
Okay, good. Anyway, that's bullshit, that whole give the parents to your candy, because...
Give the parents to your candy?
Yes. Hang on. Sorry, it's almost midnight, and I'm going to turn into a pumpkin.
It's close to midnight. Yeah!
Slav can't talk anymore. Anyway, so it's total bullshit. Like, the whole point of, your parents can inspect the candy, but they always eat it. before they give it to you. That's like they get first dibs on your candy before you get it. It's a big scam.
Man, I want to be a parent now.
You don't have to be a parent. Just go out and get candy. You know when the last time I went trick-or-treating was, now that I think about it? Like 3 years ago. But I didn't go up to the doors because I was too ashamed, but I was dressed like a pirate. I was dressed like a skeleton pirate, actually. And I went with my friends, and they all went up and trick-or-treated. And one of my friends was so lazy. This is lazy costumes for you. You know what he went as? He went as the Old Spice guy. So all he did was wrap around...
I'm on a horse.
All he did was take off his shirt and wrap a towel around his waist. Yeah, that was his costume. Genius. He didn't even have like a bar of soap with him or anything.
Easiest costume ever.
It really is.
Mm.
But yeah, speaking of apples, I remember one of the last times I went trick-or-treating when I was actually of an appropriate age to do it. I remember I went trick-or-treating in this...
24?
Yes. I went to this neighborhood of some kids of some friend of my mom's who I didn't really know well, and so it was a different neighborhood. So there was this old lady who was giving out apples, and we were like, apples? What the hell? So we all left the apples in a row at the edge of her yard.
This is the biggest waste of apples I have ever heard of. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
No, and even worse, there was another house that had just had, the people weren't home, and they had left out a bowl of candy with a little sign that said, take one, please! So, of course, we all emptied the bowl amongst ourselves.
What a bunch of little shits.
Well, what do you expect? Kids on Halloween are that's what they do. Yeah, we never toilet papered houses or threw eggs or anything else that assholes do on Halloween.
Man, so. I remember when I was a kid, and we were staying in a hotel somewhere, and my mum was like, hey, Ben, I'll show you a trick. And she got, like, the roll of spare toilet paper from the hotel bathroom. And she held onto one end of it, and she threw the other end out of the window and into the parking lot. And I watched this toilet paper stream down gracefully through the air in a glorious arc, like some long white swan. And I was like, my mum's awesome. And then she was like, quick, shut the curtain. That was awesome.
Man, why didn't we do that in Albany? I know why, because we were too busy farting out the window. Instead.
Man, it would have been like, there was only us staying in the hotel. They would have known it was us.
That's true, you're right.
It would have been a very bad idea.
You're right.
Good. Oh,
well. Yes.
Well, this has been a fun podcast.
Yes. So, yeah, as I was saying, if you go out tonight for Halloween, assuming this even goes up on Halloween, be safe, and don't drink too much pumpkin juice or whatever the hell you drink on Halloween. And
eat lots of candy.
Yeah, but don't eat so much that you fall into a diabetic coma or anything, because we want you back to listen to our podcast next week.
Man, let me tell you this right now. I have tried putting myself in a diabetic coma. You know this. I've snorted pixie sticks. Man, there is no way that... There's no way that sugar can put you into a coma.
Have you got any pixie sticks?
I don't. Otherwise, I would do it here live. I would dare you to do it again.
Yeah. Mm. I can't believe you actually did my dare and snorted.
And the best thing about it is that it wasn't an awful feeling at all. It was quite pleasant.
Mm. Yes, good. Good. All right. Well, then, Ben Chandler...
Francisco Gonzalez.
I just realized you didn't introduce yourself at the beginning of the podcast, so people won't know who I've been talking to this whole time.
No, it'll be an absolute mystery, which is very appropriate for Halloween.
Yeah, you're right. You were in disguise. You were invisible like a ghost.
I was like the invisible man.
Yes, good. Right, well, then anything can happen on Halloween, so...
Anything can happen on Halloween.
Yes, so...
It's better than a video.
You might turn into a cat. Wait, you already have!
How dare you!